Thank you, and excuse me for leaving temporarily. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Michael Delaney, and I'm the Attorney General from the state of New Hampshire. I am going to submit for your consideration some written remarks. As Attorney General, I'm a firm believer in law and order. But there are two equally important aspects of public safety. The first is getting the right people off the streets and behind bars. The second is correcting the behavior of those we send to prison so that when they return home, they will be rehabilitated and will not present an ongoing threat to public safety. In New Hampshire, we've done a very good job on the first aspect of public safety. But we have a poor track record on the second. We need to succeed on both frontiers to effectively advance public safety. And we've charted a course to do so through justice reinvestment. Last year, I had the privilege to serve as the chair of the Justice Reinvestment Leadership Group. We identified evidence-based strategies to reduce recidivism and promote more cost-effective correctional practices. Our goals were to advance public safety, put a dent in the unsustainable cost increases in our correctional system, correct obvious inefficiencies in our existing parole system, and reinvest cost savings in community-based treatment and sanction programs. Senate Bill 500 was the framework we recommended to achieve our goals, and our recommendations received widespread support in the general court and from the leadership in the judicial and executive branches. The improvements that we achieved together are meaningful ones, and they represent well-needed systemic changes. We are the safest state in the nation, yet our prison population increased by 31% between 1999 and 2009. State spending on corrections nearly doubled in the past decade. But we are not fueling a system that can be justified as providing our citizens with a meaningful return on this dramatically increased investment. More than 50% of prison admissions in 2009 were people whose probation or parole was revoked. And failures at these rates is undermining public safety, eating up more taxpayer dollars, and adding fuel to bigger government. It is simply unsustainable, and we should not reverse direction on our efforts to fix this growing problem. This troubling trend that we are fighting in New Hampshire is prevalent across the nation. With 5% of the world's population, our nation now houses 25% of the world's reported prisoners. Today, a staggering 1 out of every 100 adults in our nation is behind bars. And even more troubling, 1 out of 31 adults is either behind bars or on probation or parole. The rate of mentally ill people in prisons rather than in mental health hospitals has quadrupled over the years. I am pleased that Senate Bill 52 keeps us on course to implement many of the core recommendations passed in Senate Bill 500. These changes have us headed in the right direction. And I recognize that it is not unusual or surprising for the general court to seek modifications to major legislative advances during the next legislative session. And I support some adjustments to the new laws, particularly with respect to the standardized 90-day setback provision for parole violations as it applies to serious violent offenders and sex offenders. I am concerned, however, about two of the changes proposed in Senate Bill 52. The first change would eliminate the 9-month mandatory supervision provision for all offenders who served their maximum sentence. In 2009, almost 1 in 5 offenders in New Hampshire that were in New Hampshire prison served their maximum sentence and were released to the community without anyone supervising them. The result was that individuals that the parole board was most worried about, like some sex offenders and violent criminals, returned, received the least amount of monitoring when released from prison because they were required to serve their full sentence and then be released. After release, there is no longer any legal authority to mandate treatment or closely monitor offenders. Most states protect public safety by requiring all offenders to be supervised after release from prison, and New Hampshire needs to do the same. Last year, 225 offenders left prison with nobody watching them. No monitoring, no mandated treatment, and little protection for victims. Under our new law, every offender is required to be supervised for at least 9 months after release, which is the period when half of all recidivism occurs. This provision was endorsed by the victims' right community and law enforcement because mandatory supervision provides victims with more information, control, and security. I urge you to retain this provision of the law, and I support improving this law by clearly establishing in the law that all sexual offenders and offenders against children will receive intensive supervision by the Department of Corrections while they are under the 9-month mandatory supervision program. Second, I support changes that the Department of Corrections is going to overview with you in a bit to adjust the standardized 90-day setback provision for parole offenders. We need to provide the parole board with more flexibility to establish longer setback periods in serious cases, for sexual offenders, and for those who refuse to participate in programming. I agree that in some cases, the 90-day setback period is either inappropriate or may provide a disincentive for meaningful participation in treatment and counseling. It's a weakness in the new law that needs to be tightened up. But I am concerned that Senate Bill 52 goes too far by eliminating the standard 90-day setback provision altogether. The 90-day setback period should be a required default rule, and exceptions to it should be limited. If we reject this provision in its entirety, we run the risk of significantly undermining an important component of the framework we have established to rein in out-of-control cost increases in our parole system, and we very well may be returning to the inefficiencies of the prior system that we were trying to improve. There is a way to modify the standardized 90-day setback provision while retaining its essential elements, and I urge you to consider the alternative language that the Department of Corrections will be reviewing with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, General Blaine. Other questions, Attorney General? I have one question, which is last week there was a workshop put on by, symposium, if you will, put on by the Department of Justice and the Department of Corrections. There were two speakers, keynote speakers there, who were experts in the field of corrections. And one of the things that I recall distinctly is their concern with releasing the most serious offenders after they max out without any type of supervision. And am I hearing your testimony correct, if that's your concern as well with one of the provisions of SB 52?
Yes, it is, Senator, and thank you for the question. These were two national experts on correctional systems and reentry programs. Thank you for attending the symposium. Both were asked very specifically by members of the general court about this 9-month mandatory supervision provision and about the notion of going back and simply letting people max out. Both speakers were very concerned about that issue. Not so much for cost. It's about public safety. We do not want to have a system where our most serious offenders are in jail to the last day and are released with absolutely no supervision from the Department of Corrections and with no potential sanction to bring back upon them. It's a dangerous provision in our law that we need to correct exclusively for public safety purposes. I don't want to have to look another victim in the eye who is told that a person who violated against them is being released from prison and saying, we have absolutely no way to supervise them when they leave. We can't necessarily tell you where they're going, and we won't be able to check in on them. There is no legal authority to monitor them unless we establish a mandatory supervisory period, and we really need to do that for the protection of our citizens.
Thank you very much. Are there other questions? Yes, Senator Rowan.
Just to put in perspective, do you know what the ratio is between the violent criminals that will be covered under the provisions of this law and the rest of the prisoners who could still be released under the provisions of SB 500?
I don't have ratio, senators, and there's obviously a lot of different components to the Senate Bill 500 law. Are you referring specifically to the ratio of prisoners who max out?
No, in this law, we're saying that it's sexual offenders and violent offenders, criminals, that we would withdraw the provision of the 9 months.
You're saying how many of the 255 would fall into that category? I don't know the answer to that. I'm hopeful that the Department of Corrections may, but it's certainly information that we can research and try to get back to you.
Thank you.
Senator Lugar.
Yes. Working with these sexual offenders in prison, I suppose you're not doing that now, in essence? I mean, that's not part of the process, of the corrections process?
Well, certainly it is, but at some level, we may have people, particularly the ones that max out, these are the most dangerous. These are the people that don't want to accept counseling. They don't want to accept rehabilitation. They don't want to work with the Department of Corrections. And the reality is, unless they've received a life sentence from first-degree murder, at some point they will be released. And if they cannot be civilly committed, they're going to be returning to the streets. So these are the most dangerous people, and these are the individuals. These are the only individuals in the system that we open the gates and allow to walk out scot-free without any conditions. That's got to change.
Thank you.